powerful ethereal love song from 1974's Bridge of Sighs album. That's Robin Trower in this place. And I thought that song sets the right mood and tone for where we head in the rest of tonight's program. When I had asked Chris Boros, the producer, to help me set up this show tonight with the guests associated with Free, since the Free, the organization, has extraterrestrial encounters in its title, I kind of figured we would be focusing on abductions, the classic abduction scenario. But after hearing the comments of Ray Hernandez, the guest in the last hour, it's pretty clear that this is much broader, much bigger, and more ambitious than I had imagined. I've spoken many times on this program about the need for research into a possible unified theory of weirdness, if you want to call it that. Whether there's a connection between all the topics that we so often discuss on this program, UFOs, ETs, abductions, paranormal, poltergeists, psychic phenomena, whether all of these things lead to the same place. And in fact, that sounds like it is exactly what this organization, Free, is trying to do. When we come back, we'll hear from two of the founding members of Free, Mary Watt Rodwell, who's a counselor, hypnotherapist, author, and founder of and principal of ACERN, the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network, and Dr. John Klimo, chairman of the Free Experiencer Research Project, a full professor in the clinical program at the San Francisco Bay Area campus of the American Schools of Professional Psychology. Both of them esteemed and respected, and they're going to tell us what they're trying to do. Stay with us. Much more to come. I mentioned a moment ago that both of my guests are well known and well respected in their fields. Both of them have been on the program before, so help me in welcoming back Mary Rodwell, who's coming to us live from Australia, and Dr. John Klimo. Good to have you both back on the show.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Us on.
Mary, I'd like to start with you. Instead of me reading off your resume, why don't you tell me how the road, your road, led you to Free?
Well, it starts with the first person that walked into my office and said, "Mary, I've heard you're open-minded for this. There's no support groups for this. They just think you're a loony." And I'm sure many of your listeners know exactly what I'm talking about because for many people in the public, this is exactly what it sounds like when you describe being taken up onto spacecraft, waking up with marks on your body, shaved areas, for example, dealing with a lot of strange beings. And knowing that this has a reality, but a very scary one for a lot of people because this is totally denied in publicly. So fortunately, I'd read a couple of books at the time which were a godsend in many ways because I read the book by Dr. John Mack, who, as we know, was a professor of psychiatry at Harvard University, who wrote two books on this whole subject, Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens, and also Passport to the Cosmos. I was very grateful to have read this just prior to my first client walking in the door because I hadn't heard of this phenomena at all, although I've always been interested. It's strange, weird, and wonderful. I've always found myself very intrigued by the mysteries. And when you work in counseling, as I've done for 30-odd years, people do have unusual experiences, maybe related to grief and loss, where they feel or sense, someone they've loved is close by, or they'll get a sense that they're there. And many people will describe these strange experiences and hope that you don't think they're crazy. So for me, this was a lead-in to another aspect of our what we call our multidimensional experience. And we all have them. To deny that as part of our reality to me is absurd. When, to just tell us that anything we need to see is in fact, has to be solid, touch, feel, and smell it. When we all have intuition, we always have feelings, we all have knowings, and we all have experienced strange senses, when someone's going to, answer the phone. So for me, it's always been an inaccurate paradigm. And when you have someone coming to you that is plainly articulate and intelligent, and it's happening to the whole family, you know full well that this cannot be, some kind of individual fantasy. So for me, the reality it started with that. And from that particular gentleman and helping and supporting his family, I then needed to understand more about what this was about. And I was doing advanced counseling at the time, and I took his case study to supervision. I was very careful to put in all the possible things this might be. including, you know, the Fantasy Pro and all the lovely chestnuts they throw out about this. And what was fascinating to me was that in that group, supervision group, I had a couple of, you know, social workers, there was clinical psychologists, there was the uniting minister. And instead of saying the gentleman was crazy, they all started to tell me about paranormal happenings that they'd experienced, either haunted houses or sense of spirit. So it was fascinating to me to see that this perhaps wasn't so unusual after all, that in some way or another, we all experience this, but we don't always know how to quantify it or how to articulate it, or we don't feel safe enough to. So when this gentleman came to me and I read, I'd already read a little bit about this, what was fascinating, as we know in this wonderful world that we're all in, that synchronously more and more people found me. And I can't always explain that, but all I know was that from the start, 1 year of one person to 2 weeks later, another person walking through the door, and it's led to 3,000 cases so far, globally. Wow. All walks of life, lawyers, doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, clinical psychologists, right through to policemen, airmen, politicians, you know, all saying similar things about this experience. And what they're also saying, and this is where, you know, I'm so excited about Free, because with my organization, I haven't the resources, and much as I've wanted them, to provide help if someone feels they have implants, for example, or if they've, you know, got strange photographs of anomalous lights. I'm not an expert in those areas. When they find themselves doing, you know, strange scripts or strange artwork as part of their experience, for example, I desperately have sought, you know, medical help with those that may have implants and they've been seen on x-ray but dismissed by their general GP, or felt that some illness or even a miraculous healing has happened and they've got no way of quantifying it in a way that we could utilize that as part of the research. So this is what, you know, Free it has become so exciting for me, because here we're getting together and understanding this is really about human consciousness. This isn't, you know, the nuts and bolts side of ufology has been extremely important. You know, we've needed the photographs and the sightings and the implanted objects and the marks and scars and the whistleblower testimony and all these other things that come in with the nuts and bolts of ufology. But we've really struggled to quantify that other aspect of human multidimensional experience. And that covers all the things that I'm sure Ray mentioned, like out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, time distortions, healing and healing abilities, altered and enhanced senses, downloads, information downloads such as complex physics that even children mention to me. They talk about being given information on the craft to do with black holes and high physics, which is incredible when the children are less than 10 years old.
I'll tell you what, I'll come back to that, sort of the broad spectrum. I want to give a chance for Dr. John Klima to get involved in this. John, I look at your academic credentials, the places where you work, the papers you've written, and things that you've done. And then at the bottom of the paragraph, it talks about things like paranormal consciousness studies, spiritual transpersonal studies, ufology. Those things don't always go together in an academic resume. It just seems to me that your road to working with Free must have been fraught with peril from a professional standpoint.
Fraught with peril, yeah. Well, challenging. Well, it's a pleasure listening to Mary. I used to think many of us separately thought we were alone in all this. You know, nobody, we were kind of martyrs to the cause of these things and had few people could understand or talk to us or support us. And then I started later in my life to get involved with organizations of like-minded people, and finding, like listening to Mary here, or Ray, or others, that my God, we're all birds of a feather, and we're all pulling together. It's not the old Piscean loner model. It's more of an Aquarian conjoint, pooled effort and heart. And that's what it really, as a kind of shy introvert that I've been, it's very heartening to see that going on. And so, yeah, I chose an interesting path. I chose academia. I mean, this was my day job. It's not my calling. I began as a poet and an artist, and I couldn't figure out where the creativity, the inspiration, the kind of overshadowing of some larger something that would work through me as a creative person. That was the great mystery, and I was the case of it. I was trying to examine my own navel and understand that. And that led me eventually, during the 40 years of academia, getting involved with trying to help understand and explain the phenomenon of channeling. And I'm considered, false humility aside, kind of the general authority on it, based upon the book I wrote on it and other things, because I was what I was talking about. And in the Free organization, many people in it, working with it and running it, are the case of what their organization is about. They are experiencers of a larger reality, whether it's otherworldly and extraterrestrial or other kinds of larger reality kinds of things. And so, yeah, I've chosen to consciously and unconsciously take the route within the belly of the beast of mainstream science and higher education, and to try to be making a case as an ombudsperson or as an advocate of this larger reality, and to try to find legitimacy, not find it, I knew it was the case, but to help raise consciousness for the legitimacy and the authenticity and the credibility of these claims of a larger reality, a larger experience than most people hear about in the media, and which is sort of controlled consciously and unconsciously, and we only kind of hear it as we're synchronistically blown together to compare notes about this lifetime. And one of the secrets that's coming out is many, many of us, the majority of human beings, certainly in the United States, have had a non-ordinary experiences, and it is coming out now more and more. And within what Mary was saying, what I wanted to pick up on was, I spent my whole life trying to develop what I would call a unified field theory of the nature of reality, for heaven's sakes, including spirit and consciousness, not just material reality, but also a unified field theory about the very things that you were talking about, George, and that Mary's talking about, which is not just ufology and extraterrestriology, but adjacent non-ordinary anomalous kinds of experiences and beliefs and abilities. And so there is a deeper structure to all of this, which I've been writing about and teaching about. I can't teach about all of it within academia, within the university base, because that's where the bad guys, where the loyal opposition resides. And the loyal opposition has been in charge of science and has been in charge of, in a different, softer way, the media and the control rods on the consensus reality. You know, I'm not saying it's a conscious mind control, but I mean, I think it was Noam Chomsky, the linguist, said manufactured consent. That there's a kind of a engineering of group consciousness that's happening on a number of different levels. The interesting thing is that can play into the extraterrestrial perspective as well, because we know for a fact, not for a fact, my skeptics would say there's no fact, you're just full of it, but that when you move into abductee and contactee reports and experiences, they're fraught with the very stuff that I, as a parapsychologist studies, like telepathy. Almost automatically, there's a telepathic connection interspecies with us and other beings. And also, they seem to have a different kind of technology and a greater technology. But there's also not just the high-tech part of it, so to speak. There's a high-touch part. I mean, I'm not going to talk about... there's negative and there's positive sides of these beings, not of each being, but different kinds of civilizations of them, and there is. It's important that we learn our own capacities with our own psyches and our own mental potential as well as our spiritual potential, if we're going to not get co-opted as we move into the cosmic neighborhood and see how our neighbors, some of them might want to kind of treat us just the same way as people here on Earth treat each other to try to be takeover artists or to subjugate and to control. And we need to be free. We need to be a free species in the galactic system. And certain kinds of the interlopers into our dimension and into our planet, in our lifetime certainly, have been troubling because they have their own agendas. And we're at the mercy of them because we've been so shut down and our science has been so negating of the potentiality of the human being that many of us know is very, very real. I'm not talking about the UFO stuff. I'm talking about the extrasensory perception and the psychokinesis and the capacity to move in and out of the body and to alter consciousness at will and to mind over matter and all kinds of things like that. But if you study the reports from abductees and especially contactees and conscious experiencers, you find an immense array of capacities on the part of extraterrestrials that we have been denying of ourselves, and there's been a kind of a conspiracy to keep us from knowing we have these capacities. I just want the truth to be able to set us free as a species, a human species, that we have these capacities so we can hold our own a little better and walk collegially with at least the positive ETs that have been connecting to us.
Since you guys have extraterrestrial encounters in the title, the acronym FREE, Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, so I kind of was under the impression we're going to talk about classic extraterrestrial type of reports, gray aliens with big eyes, and that's really not what it is. I mean, as you mentioned, ufology is sort of was my path into this stuff. Yeah. But that was just a tiny little slice of it, and I've also always had sort of an intrinsic feeling that there's something much bigger at work here. And then I started working with NIDS, studying the ranch there in Utah, where it was a whole smorgasbord, a Disneyland of the paranormal. It's poltergeists, it's ETs, it's classic flying saucers, it's a whole range of stuff, and it was almost as if the phenomena was trying to say it's all related.
That's true. And I can tell you from my experience with FREE, I mean, mostly we're at a distance out of body with regard to experiencing each other. We don't all get together yet. Most of the expertise within FREE thus far is primarily the more old-fashioned ufology, extraterrestriology, right, abductee, contactee, conscious experiencer type, where people, almost the entree card to involvement in this has turned it out to be, by self-selection and otherwise, has been you are the case of it. You know it in your blood. You know it firsthand. You've been born again into it. You had personal experience with it. You don't just choose to believe it. And so, but that's more what you were talking about, George, how you got involved with it, which is the reports. The reports, what constitutes the literature of ufology and extraterrestriology. And I'm saying that that's what started off the FREE organization that Ray helped get together with Mary and a core of others, they felt, and we still feel, that it needs a really thorough, professional, respectable job needs to be done of carefully studying these things and gaining the respect and credibility of the larger scientific and academic community, so that we have more clout to get past people's disbelief and people's stereotypes and so on about these things. Oh, you're crazy, you're loony, you know, woo-woos. And so that's at the heart of the FREE is that. But what I've seen happening since I was asked to become involved with it by Ray was they're seeing what I've known for decades.
It seems like it's telling us that all of these roads lead to the same place. What that place is, that's pretty tough to decide. Foghat from 1978 is telling us we're going to take a break. When we come back, we continue our conversation with Mary Rodwell and Dr. John Klimo about the focus of FREE in this amazing research project they've just undertaken. Stay with us. That's Wings from the Venus and Mars album, 1975, exploring the thin line between love and obsession. pretty good song. We're talking with Mary Rodwell and Dr. John Klimo about FREE, this amazing organization that has just launched a pretty ambitious research project to look for links, explanations, answers that sort of connect a lot of things that we would classify as paranormal, but which maybe science in the end can, in fact, explain. When we come back, we'll ask our guests about the nature of that research project, how they set it up, what they hope to explain and answer. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. In the last hour, if you were listening, you heard experiencer Ray Hernandez tell this story about an email he had sent to Mary Rodwell. He sent it 7 months before it actually arrived, and it arrived on a key day for him, a day that he had a remarkable paranormal-type experience. Mary, do you remember that event? Is that the way it went down?
It was quite hilarious, and it seems to be very much part of the unusual kinds of experiences that happen and the synchronicities. And yes, it's exactly that way, and it was fascinating because for Ray it was so significant because of this huge understanding that he had that something needed to be set up that was, you know, to hopefully change the way that we approach this whole phenomena.
And for it to happen that way, it was almost like somebody sent you a greeting card, almost a printed invitation, that it was a manipulation, a way to lasso you and get you involved in this.
Oh, look, I've seen over the last 20 years since I've been involved in this, I'm pretty certain there's another level of organization going on that I'm not aware of and Ray's not aware of. And we often have chuckles about the mere fact that there are a lot of synchronicities in the way that, you know, Dr. Rudy Shield came on board and then Dr. Greg Mitchell. And, of course, I was really thrilled that Dr. Klimo came on board, because I remember reading his book on channeling about 25 years ago and never in a million years thought we'd be blessed enough to have this wonderful gentleman help with this new vision, which to me is forever growing, which is also for me, you know, a real bridge between the old paradigm and the new.
Let me throw a great big lob, a big old softball over the middle of the plate, and you can both take a whack at it. But it's the central question is the nature of what we're dealing with here. I mean, you know, we're talking about spokes on a wheel and how they all fit together. I wonder if the two of you have preconceptions about how it all fits together. You know, we've got, is it ETs? Is it ultra-terrestrials? Are we interdimensionals we're dealing with? Are they gods or demons? Do we have any idea? Or do we not even know enough information yet to answer the question, ask the question? Mary, we'll start with you and then John.
I think it's all of that. And probably visitors from our future as well, because what seems to come through with all the patterns of experience, because I think now what we've all discovered is that the range of human experiences with contact is so broad that you can't put it into little boxes anymore. You have to look, for me, it's been about patterns of experience and seeing where they correlate. And it's all part of this interdimensional, multidimensional ability we all have to interact with the matrix, if you like, or the hologram. I've often tried to explain to those that are coming in from a more metaphysical, spiritual perspective, when they talk about their spirit guides or they talk about spirits or, you know, all these other beings that they see. And I'm saying, well, it really just often is the lens that your belief system that you're looking through. Because, you know, for one person, an angel, for another, it might be a light being, depending on the way that you interpret it in your belief system. So I believe it's all in the mix, and probably a lot more as well that we don't understand.
John, I mentioned before about the ranch and how the sort of the only thing we learn from all the weird stuff that happened on that ranch is that it seemed to be trying to tell us that there is a connection, that all this stuff is related somehow, but we can't figure out what the connection is. Do you think that there's an intelligence that seems to be wanting us to know or wanting us to ask questions and follow this path?
Yes, it certainly is. By the way, you mentioned the ranch and Ned's. I was invited to a retreat a few years ago by Robert Bigelow and the NIDS organization up in the mountains outside of Las Vegas. And it was really an interesting bunch of people, including Raymond Moody, you know, the near-death guy, and a whole who's who of people. And I was, I don't know what I was representing, maybe channeling, but other things as well. And the retreat was because of, just to look at survival of physical death. And it wasn't ufology particularly, but an interesting weekend. And Stephen LeBurge, the Lucid Dream Lucid Dreamer Authority, was part of it, and many others. And we each had a piece of the puzzle. We represented different anomalies. And I think that I can't speak for Bigelow, but I think he was interested in bringing people together to look for commonalities of this. And I think that the ranch was an attempt to make a kind of a field of dreams. You know, he will build it, and they'll come, and we'll have to come this portal, or this trans-earth interconnectedness that'll give us smoking gun evidence of a larger reality. And it, you know, it's helped in certain ways, and it didn't work in certain other ways. But the it's the interrelation of all these anomalous things. And for me, I use a fancy term, idealism, which is a philosophical term, but it goes back to the Vedic, Hindu, Indian, and so on. It just means that everything is essentially consciousness. At the heart, it's a universal consciousness field. Everything is contained within consciousness. Everything resides and takes place within a, kind of a, an infinite and eternal interiority. You could say the mind of God. If you don't like God, you could just say the universal being, the universal consciousness field. And I fervently believe in that. I've had experiences with it. And from that perspective, in my channeling book about 1988, I put forth a metaphor that's worked for me ever since, which is that we're like you know, subpersonalities, alters or subpersonalities in a person. Usually looked at pathologically, but I want to look at it non-pathologically. We're like sub-personalities, us human beings, us individual human beings. We're like sub, and not just us human beings, but all the extraterrestrials, all levels of entity-like being, embodied, disembodied, human and otherwise. We're all like what I call cosmological sub-personalities of a single being, of a single all-containing, all-creating, all-sustaining being. And we are in the we live with, and we start off with a presenting problem of borrowing from psychology of what I call cosmological dissociation. We are dissociated from each other. Each of us is dissociated from other parts of ourselves within each of us. We're dissociated from each other, and each of us is dissociated with regard to our own creator and our ground of being. God or universal consciousness field, or whatever you want to call it. Given that, I look at my fellow, what I call, you know, sibling offspring of our common creator or cosmological subpersonality, others, in the great being, and I look at them. I look at the extraterrestrial ones, and some of them are you know, like the Three Stooges. They'll poke your eye out. They'll take you over. They want to eat your flesh. All that kind of, you know, bad Hollywood stuff. And then others they do seem like ascended masters or angels, and they sure as hell have done all the things that that parapsychology has only begun to look at, like materialization, dematerialization, and like the stuff that happens close to the borders of death and after death, when you have you're moving between levels of reality, frequency domains, dimensionality, octaves of densities of level, degrees of freedom, kinds of physics, kinds of consciousness. But underneath it all, for me, it's all subsumed by consciousness. What do you say? God's consciousness, our consciousness is within it, like the offspring of it. And so that's, for me, a metaphor that works. And then within that, I can look at things like paranormal and anomalous phenomenon and abilities and claims and say, well, those are just simply ones that are more outside of the boxes of these different consensus realities, whether they're human or otherwise, physically embodied or otherwise, that where there's an agreed-to notion of what's real and what's possible. And here on Earth, we're very, very constrained. We're very somnolistic in what we think is possible. And part of it is we're being engineered. For me, evil is people who are beings who are consciously doing it, consciously keeping us asleep and lobotomized and self-limited. And that's a sin if you know you're doing it. Most people, I don't think, know they're doing it to themselves and each other. But my hope is that we can wake up now, actually within our lifetimes, and take dominion of our own potentiality to relate to each other, overcoming this association. And anytime I read, and I've got libraries of these things, you know, I just gorge myself and I never get enough. You hear about how dissociation is overcome in varying degrees and ways, interspecies in extraterrestrial encounter experiences, as an example, where the ETs seem to have a handle on being able to move beyond the speed of light, being able to move in and out of the constraints of physicality. Time is not even necessarily a constraint, depending on the species we're talking about. And so given that, they're way showers. They're saying, these things, you know, someone like Christ said, these things you shall do and other things as well you shall do in your time. You're coming awake into that. That's part of your heritage as sons and daughters of God, if you want to look at it that way, or at least cosmological subpersonalities, if that's more neutral. And so I'm very excited about the fact that after 73 years on this planet, that I'm going to get to see some of these things more of a waking up and feeling less alone and misunderstood, not only by academics and scientists, but by people who are kind of somnambulistically out there who've been led to believe, because that's just what rains down on them, that this is, don't pay attention to that, that's silly. It's, you know, that kind of subculture that listens to Coast to Coast AM in the middle of the night, fruitcakes.
Yeah.
When in truth, that's the lie that is put to our own potentiality. And I think until we get in touch with our own potential as human beings and as sons and daughters of God or as cosmological subpersonalities and overcome our dissociation so we can reach our own higher selves and so we can link up more synchronistically and telepathically in other ways, not a hive mentality or a soullessness, but a heartfulness, a heartful one. And I think that's why a lot of ETs get drawn to us, is that they see we have some of the, it's like people, the different characters that went to Oz. You know, one went for to get
the heart and the mind.
I think there are ETs out there. I think many of you who's consumed the literature of extraterrestriality, you know, some of them don't seem like the little grays. Don't seem to have much heart, but they have what parapsychology would call kind of like the hive mentality or group mind or that kind of a thing. And if we could ever reach that potentiality of overcoming our cosmological dissociation as cosmological subpersonalities, whatever my jargon is, and link up more that way and get in touch with taking dominion in ourselves, we can be a powerful presence in the cosmic neighborhood rather than kind of a barefoot pregnant down on the farm, you know, shuffling around in the dust dummies who have been also victimized to think that, don't pay attention to that stuff. Don't look at the white elephant in the corner there. That's garbage. That's New Age foo-foo. And then when they land on the White House lawn, you know, we're like cattle. We're like Charles Fort said. You know, you're like cattle.
We're property. Yeah, we're property. Mary, let me ask you this. And I promise in the next segment we'll get to free and the study that you guys are working on. But, you know, ufology, it's frustrating to look at these mysteries through that one particular prism, because you look at it and it's been 60 years in the modern era. We're no closer at all to answering any of the big questions: who these visitors are, why they're here, what their interest is in us, where they're from. We don't know answers to any of that stuff, despite all the cases and studies and effort and people that have come and gone from the topic. You've dealt with experiencers, abductees, and not all of their experiences are positive at all. How do you reconcile the negative and invasive things that are reported to you by people you work with compared to the blissfulness of a near-death experience and the positive changes that are made? I mean, it's hard to figure out an agenda for who these beings are.
It's a good question, and I'd like to say that I don't know, because I didn't hear the first part of the interview with Ray, but we were looking at least 70% of those so far that have done the survey had positive experiences, and that fits in with what I found with the CERN, that 20-25% of those that come to me have had very fear-based experiences. What the average public does not know is that often that fear is based on the unknown, on, you know, not knowing what was happening and not understanding it. When you take this individual into a place where they can explore it more through hypnosis, many of them will see the procedures that, or things that had happened to them. They get a greater understanding of what that may be, whether or not it is, you know, some kind of genetic retrieval, or in some cases it's actually healing that has been done, for example. Something that is a very important part of our research in that aspect of encounters. So it's the other thing that I think also is very important here is a lot of the most traumatized are those that have had what we call the MILAB, the military abductions. They're the ones that I have seen as the most traumatized of all. And if I'm working with someone who is very traumatized, I'm never surprised to find there's been some military interference in there. And this is something that many researchers, you know, don't, I think, qualify enough. That the most fear-based are often the human interactions where, you know, you've got these covert agencies picking people up and abducting them, and there's many cases of that. And that is extremely traumatic. That's not to say that there isn't the same with some of the greys, for example. And what's also important to say about, you know, even the greys, that I was told by one lady who said there's at least 165 species of grey. So it's like taking one person off this planet and saying that represents humans. So again, it's lack of information where we're trying to get a sense of what's going on. What I have found the most useful is to look at the outcomes. And if 70% of those surveyed so far of over 1,300 are saying that it's ended up being positive to them, you've also got to look at what those outcomes are. And the outcomes are very transformative. They become very much more ecologically aware, often wanting more simple rural lifestyles. They're not interested in materialistic values. They become very sensitive to their environment, feel very connected to their environment. Many of them want to be healers or to do positive things for the planet. So the outcomes are really fascinating, and I always think it's a real pity that we're not looking at this side of the evidence of having encounters, is the way it shifts the perceptions of the individual. They become more telepathic, more empathic. They seem to sense so much more than the rest of us in terms of, you know, seeing energy fields. They may see, you know, strange orbs and things like this, which shows that their multidimensional abilities are enhanced in amazing ways. And this changes their perception of not only the beings, but themselves and what their potential is, which is what Dr. Klimo is talking about. So what I'm seeing is, if you like, an upgrading going on of the human condition, or at least in terms of helping us through going from a very limited paradigm and consensus reality, almost a deprogramming, if you like, of our conditioning, to show that we have abilities far greater than we've ever believed. And not only those with experiences are saying this and saying that they can even sense and feel when an animal's in pain. Some even say that they can understand and communicate with animals. Now, if you've got the odd person here and there saying that, but I'm actually getting many hundreds are saying, I now can connect more with my environment, with the animals, and I feel and sense people's emotions. Now, to me, that is a positive thing, because the more we connect to one another, the more we can be loving beings, if you like, rather than if we disagree with someone, we shoot them, which is unfortunately what seems to be happening on this planet at the moment. So I see the results of encounters overall as a transformative event. Even if some of those experiences have been very traumatic or difficult for some, many of them say it was because they didn't understand what was going on. And often through hypnosis, and I've worked with many hundreds in hypnosis, the subconscious, the tape that records everything without editing, will come up with some amazing understanding that, right, you know, for some people is difficult to at first to resonate to, but in the end makes a lot of sense to them.
Okay, Mary Rodwell, John Klimo of Free. When we come back, want to hear about the study itself, how it's designed, what it's designed to find out. We'll open up the phone lines with your questions or comments as well. Maybe a couple of you have your own experiences to share with us. We go into the break with Canned Heat. Let's work together. Appropriately enough, much more to come.